So we've been working our way through Romans 11. So if you have your word, go to Romans 11. And this is the continuing letter that Paul is writing, trying to explain how the chosen ones, the Jews, how the gospel came to them first, and now how it's being expanded unto the Gentiles, unto all the world. And he goes into a lot of rhetoric here and a lot of questioning. You know, has God abandoned the Jews? No, he hasn't abandoned them. There's a lot of things going on in here that we're going to look at. So I titled this message, Am I the Only One? Because we're going to see in here, we're going to get into a little bit of 1 Kings also, where Elijah is desperately running from Queen Jezebel and hiding. And he says, Lord, I'm the only one. Have we ever felt like that? That you're the only one that's left. You're the only one that cares. You're the only one that is maybe trying to make a difference, that's trying to do something, and nobody else cares. I've felt that before. I won't name the church, but I got up in front of a church one time, and I did a little 60-minute blurb, and while I'm talking, God's tapping me on the shoulder going, Chuck, they just don't care. And it was sobering to me. And so, you know, we are called to be light in a dark world. And we're not called, we were talking about this morning, we're not called to bring people together. The world has the message, let's build a bridge. Let's come together. What does coming together mean? Compromise. Was Jesus a compromiser? No. He said, I came to bring division. Whoa, that sounds very offensive, Chuck. Jesus was very offensive. And they tried to silence him. But the good news is he's alive in all of us today. He cannot be silenced. The world will always try to silence the truth. As soon as you get up and start talking the truth, you're a hater, you're a bigot, you're a whoremonger, you're whatever. Sit down, shut up. And you know when they start the name calling, they've lost the argument. They can't stand against the truth. So we're called to be light in a dark world. That means the world is going to hate us. Surprise newsflash. But who loves us? He does. If they hated him, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted him, they're going to persecute you. And so we feel like this sometimes. Am I the only one? The world is going to hell. Look at what's going on in Colombia. Look what's going on in Venezuela. Look what's going on in Ukraine, Russia. Look what's going on in the United States. The world's going to hell. There is one hope for us. His name is Jesus. Amen? And that is our hope. When he sets foot back on the earth and splits the Mount of Olives in half, we're going to finally have peace on earth. We're the only ones that have hope. You know, and I think about the two people that were killed yesterday, the shooter and one of the innocent bystanders that was in there. Now think about that. What's the important question here? Where are they today? Where are they today? And that's why we remain. We remain to stand and speak the truth. We are not called to speak unity. Truth. In fact, Bill and I were talking about, this morning. Nowhere in the Bible does it say Bill Bridges, said Bill Walls. Huh? That sounds very exclusive. It is exclusive. You're either born again or you're not. You're either a new creation or you're not. Are we going to exclude anybody from accepting it and believing it? No, we're going to invite them. Go into all the world and preach and make disciples. That's our mission, is to spread the light. I'm just saying, when we have spiritual walls, you have a spiritual wall around your family. You have a spiritual hedge around your family. You won't allow just anything to come into your house. We got walls here. And to allow the enemy just to freely roam in is destruction. Am I the only one? So we go to Romans 11. We'll start out in verse 1. I ask then, has God rejected his people? Has God rejected his people? Absolutely not. I too am an Israelite. This is Paul saying, hey, I'm an Israelite too. A descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? And this is what I like about Paul. He always likes to go back and supports his writings with Old Testament. And he bridges that gap between the old and the new. And he tries to explain to his own people that it used to be we sacrificed the blood of bulls and goats on the Day of Atonement once a year. And we talked about this morning to do what? To cover your sins. That's what the blood of goats and bulls would do. Cover your sins. Offered in the name of God as a sacrifice. And the people would go out and then they would come back the next year and they would do it all over again. And get their sins covered again. So what does Jesus do when he says it's finished on the cross? He says, I take away your sins. You see the difference? Our sins are no longer covered. They are taken away. And I quote this all the time. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And he remembers our sins no more. Hallelujah. Amen. So God, don't you know what Elijah says? He pleads and he says, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I'm the only one left. Here again, you've probably felt like this before. Maybe you were the only one left in a relationship. Maybe you were the only one left in a family. Maybe you were the only one that was holding out and saying, no, I'm not going to go your way. I'm going to stand over here, even if I have to stand alone. And this is what the prophet's feeling at this point. He says, I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. They're trying to take my life. Why were they trying to take his life? Because he had just finished destroying 450 prophets of Baal and made a mockery out of them. And Queen Jezebel stands up and says, albeit the sun don't go down before this happens to you, the same as you did to my prophets. And now Elijah is running and hiding. You ever wanted to run away and hide? We talked about, me and my wife decided about it. We could buy 1,000 acres and put a cabin right in the middle of it and just put no trespass signs around it. We'd probably do it. I said, that's isolation. That's not what God has called us to. And you know, the thought of it sounds really good. You know, just get away from the world. Just be out there and have 1,000 acres and put a cabin. The thought of it sounds really, really good. But in reality, we're called to be a light in a dark world. How are we going to be a light out there in the middle of nowhere? The thought of it's good. He said, what was God's answer to Elijah? I have left 7,000 for myself. 7,000 for myself who have not, what? Bowed to Baal. And here was the crazy thing about the Jews. They had seen the miracles of God. They had seen the water parted. They had seen the firstborn of the Egyptians die. They had seen all these plagues and miracles and wonders. They had manna from heaven. They had water. They had everything they needed. They'd seen all this. And yet, years later, they are worshiping the gods of the people around them and making little idols. They have eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to speak, but can't do any of it. And he says, so the key message is here, they have not bowed to Baal. He said in 1 Kings 19:10, here's Elijah. I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. This is a lonely, lonely feeling for Elijah until God says, no, I will leave 7,000 in Israel, every knee that has not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. So when you think you're all alone, think again. It's just like the prophet Elisha. There was Elijah and then there was Elisha. And they were surrounded by the enemy. I'll ask you again, have you ever felt surrounded by the enemy? I think we have. And the servant goes out and he looks up and he says, oh my God, we're surrounded by the Assyrians. We're done. He goes back in and tells Elisha, we're done. And Elisha prays that his eyes may be open. And this is our prayer for the world, is that the eyes of the world be open to who Jesus really is. And all these false religions and all these man-made religions can go to hell. Open the eyes to Jesus Christ, the Savior of all. Open their eyes, Lord. That's our prayer. Because really, when Jesus went around healing blind people physically, he also healed them spiritually. They opened their eyes physically, but they also opened their eyes and said, wow, you're special. You must be a prophet. No, I'm the son of the living God, actually. And Elisha was surrounded, and he told a servant, go out and look again. The servant went back out of the tent, he looked again, and he says, because there's more of us than there is of them. And then that's when he saw the angels of the Lord encamped all around the city. He said, wow, this is the power of God. So whenever you're getting disappointed, whenever you're feeling down, whenever you're feeling lonely, whenever you're feeling oppressed, whenever you're feeling like the world is stacked against you, remember, there's more of us than there is of them. God has his remnant. God has his believers. The church, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And it's in every heart of the believer. They would have to kill all of us. And it ain't going to happen. God's promises are true. And it goes into Romans 11:5. In the same way then, there is also at the present time a remnant. Chosen by how? Grace. Grace. Unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it. We weren't even. It said last Sunday we talked about how I was found by a people that wasn't even looking for me. The Gentiles. They believe in me. Yet you know the law, you know Moses, you know Abraham, and yet I'm standing before you, the Son of the living God, you don't even recognize me. And that shows we can have a book knowledge, but not a personal knowledge. We can say, I believe, even the demons say, I believe, and they shudder, right? They believe out of fear. They believe out of the reality that they've seen what God can do. We believe out of faith. We believe out of trust. We put our belief in him. We say, Lord, I got nothing unless you give it to me. I got no hope unless you give it to me. I'm going nowhere unless you take me there. That's belief. And it says, now it is a remnant chosen by grace. Now if by grace, then it is not by works. 95% of the religions in the world are works of some sort. I've even heard it in the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Episcopalian, the Presbyterian. I've heard it in all the churches. Yes, by grace, but. Excuse me, everything after but is a lie. It's by grace, but. You better give that 10%, Kathy. God's going to get you. We've all heard that. We've all heard that lie. You better read your Bible, Bill. God's going to get you. He's going to zap you. We're joking because he had somebody used to tell him that. God's not going to zap you. God is not out to get you. He's out to save you. He has rescued us. Amen? So it's by grace. It's not by our works. So he says, what then? Israel did not find what it was looking for? Israel's looking for the Messiah. He's standing right in front of them. Well, they didn't find what they were looking for, but the elect did find it. The rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear to this day. And this just, we could talk about this for hours, but this talks about our spiritual discernment. The natural man does not understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. But we have the mind of who? Christ. As a believer, we have the mind of Christ. We can discern evil versus good, good versus evil. The world cannot. There's half the people in the United States right now think the assassination attempt yesterday on Trump was a good thing. If you don't believe me, go look. Go look on social media. They cannot discern evil versus good and good versus evil. The natural man cannot do this. So he says, I'm going to give you over to a spirit of stupor, eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear. In other words, I'm going to confirm your position. You believe in me or you don't? No, I don't. Okay, well, I'll confirm that. It's your choice. And you step one foot over here. Holy Spirit comes to you again. I'm here. I love you. I want to rescue you. Nope. You're not my Messiah. And you step one more foot in the darkness. Say, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Would God actually want to do that? No, he just confirmed every time Pharaoh said, no, I will not let your people go. No, I will not obey you, God, your Israelite God. Until he suffered the consequences and saw who God really was. And God revealed himself to the whole world at that time. Jeremiah 5:21 says this. Hear this. Okay, here's your hate speech in the Bible. This is what a lot of people would say is hate speech. You foolish and senseless people. Oh my God, a prophet said that? Yes, he did. Isaiah said even worse. Ezekiel said even worse. Go look at the prophets. They don't pull punches, people. They don't build bridges. This is the wall that's being built. You are foolish and senseless people. You have eyes. It says they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. And you're going to see here in a minute how they're building idols that look just like them. How many times we make a mistake, guys, and we look in the mirror and we play God. Well, if I was God. Atheists will tell you this all the time. How can a good God let your little child die of cancer? How can a good guy? You don't know the mind of God. You don't know his purpose. I told you I was driving last winter, and it was, or 2 winters ago, and it was so bad, and snow was over the roof of most houses. It was crazy. And there's this little deer, and I told Maria about it. This little deer, and she's like, don't tell me. I said, no, you can see its rib cage. And it can barely walk, and he's in front of me in the road, and I had to slow down and where I wouldn't hit it, and I'm just waiting for it to get out of the way. And he's going as fast as he can. And I'm going, God, this is your creation. That deer is suffering. That deer, why, God, why? Innocent little deer. And you take that into the context of innocent little kids and innocent people that are being abused and manipulated all over the world. And you go, why, God, why? We don't know his ways. Isaiah says, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. This is where the believing comes in. This is where the trusting comes in. I know the plans you have for me. Plans of good, not evil, to give us a what? A future and a hope. We don't have to walk downtrodden. We don't have to walk around with our head down in the sand. We can say, I'm a child of the living God. I'm righteous, I'm holy and blameless. Says who? Says Jesus Christ, who accounted his righteousness unto me. Not my own righteousness, it's his righteousness. So I have actually perfect righteousness. Oh, but Chuck, you still sin. Of course I do. But my sins are forgiven. Past, present, future. He's not going to go get back up on the cross every time I sin again. He did it once and for all. And all your sins were future when he died. If you think about that, he died how many years ago? 2000. You were all in the future when he died. He looked into the future. He saw your sins. He says, while you were yet a sinner, God demonstrated his love for us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You were that joy. We got to start thinking of ourselves as something. Before the cross, we're like, oh, I'm not worthy, Lord. I'm a sinner. I'm downtrodden. Now You're righteous. Now you're his child. Walk in that. Walk in that light. That you are the child of the living God. Born again, new creation. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, you are living among a rebellious house. They have eyes to see, but do not see, ears to hear, but do not hear. They are a rebellious house. Who's he talking about? The Jews. I'm here. I'm standing before you. Before Abraham was, I am. They picked up stones to stone him at that. How dare you say, I am? That's the name of our God, Yahweh, who revealed himself to Moses. What's the truth? That's how I dare say it. It's the truth. The great I am is standing before you. But yet you have eyes to see, but you don't see. And ears to hear, but you don't hear. You know, as a believer, we're no longer rebellious. I used to think I was the biggest rebel there was. I don't know how I survived 10 years in the military. I really don't. Because I'll talk about who in here likes to be told what to do? Who in here, little guys, y'all like to obey your parents or you like to kind of do other things? That word obey, I don't like that word. I don't like that. So we've become obedient through our belief. So we're no longer a child of disobedience. We are obedient according to the scripture and according to the Lord. So let's kind of equate this, and I'll close out with this. We kind of equate this with where Israel was at one time. Here's a psalm. And this is a song that we sing in church. Not to us, but to God be the glory, right? Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your faithful love, because of your truth. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven and does whatever he pleases. And they go on to say, their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throats. Those who make them are just like them, as all who trust in them. Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Now this is Israel when they were walking with the Lord. They're trusting him. They're saying, we trust in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So what happened then? What happened? I wrote down a couple points here. Israel allowed those around them to influence them. Little ones, do not let the people around you influence you. Trust only in Jesus. And we do that. We start listening to this argument, listening to that argument. Your God sounds kind of cool. And the Jews listened to that, to the point where they were now worshiping Baal and putting up altars on the high places to Baal over the God Jehovah. What did that tell the rest of the world? Baal's higher than your God. This is why God was angry with them. You're elevating a God, another God above me. And we can do that when we elevate ourselves, when we elevate another man, when we do whatever. We can have an idol that's not God. And so they value the opinions of others more than God. How many times have you valued the opinion of somebody else, so you didn't want to look bad to them, so you just went along with it? Instead of saying, nope, that's not truth. I stand on the truth of Jesus Christ, not what you're saying. But for lack of better things, they surrounded themselves with the people that had false gods. And then they started valuing their opinion more than God's. And they begin to worship the gods of the others. And Moses gave a warning too. He said, quit intermarrying with the non-chosen, the Gentiles. They're not believers. King Solomon went through this. when he had women from other countries that were pagan, and he brought them into his house, and now he's at the influence of these other gods, and he's allowing all this to go on. And they lost their hearing and vision, which led to their unbelief. What's more important, guys, our physical hearing and vision or our spiritual hearing and vision? I would rather go without ears, physical ears and physical eyes, than go without spiritual eyes and ears. David said himself, I pray not you take the Holy Spirit from me. Now that's Old Testament. That's where the Holy Spirit was given and taken. Now the Spirit has been poured out, Acts chapter 2. Once you are born again, you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you are sealed for time and eternity. You cannot lose that. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. No one can snatch you out of his hand. You become, I put a little note here, you become what you worship. Be careful how much you entangle yourself with the affairs of this world. Instead, get all caught up in him. Get caught up in that word, that life, that truth, the renewing of the mind, the new heart, the new person, the new creation that you are. So what's happening now? Jesus. Jesus is happening now. And a lot of people are tripping over that. And I got the verse here for you. For it stands in Scripture, 1 Peter 2, 6 and 8. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and honored cornerstone. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. What does that say again? The one who does good things, the one who goes to such and such a church, the one who sacrifices every day, reads their Bible 20 hours a day, prays 14 hours a day. Oh, that's already more than a day. Now it says, whoever believes in him. It's that simple, because if it was any more complicated, we wouldn't be able to do it. Whoever believes in him will never be put to shame. So honor will come to you who believe. What's in store for your future? Honor. You're going to be honored because you're a believer. But not so for the unbelieving, the stone that the builders rejected. This one has become the cornerstone and a stone to stumble over and a rock to trip over. Who is that? Jesus. Remember what I said about divisive? Jesus was the most divisive person that ever walked the earth. Most offensive person that ever walked the earth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Whew, that's pretty narrow. But that's truth. They stumble because they what? Disobey the word. They were destined for this. It doesn't mean they were destined to go to hell. It's not a Calvinistic point or anything. It means they were destined for this because they disobeyed the word of God. What is obeying the word of God? Believing. For the will of God is for you to what? Believe. John 6:40. For this is the will of God, that whoever looks upon the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So they disobeyed the word of God. They disobeyed the word to believe. The last thing I want us to think about here, and I'll close with this. If God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus, why aren't we? If God says Jesus is a propitiation for your sins, he is that offering that's going to fulfill all righteousness. If he says, I'm satisfied, this is my beloved Son on whom I'm well pleased, I'm satisfied to send him to the cross. Because he's going to die for a multitude of people and cover a multitude of sins for all that believe. So if God himself is satisfied with that, why do we struggle over, I got to do something? I got to act a certain way, be a certain way, do a certain thing. We live in the freedom of Christ. We live in the freedom of Christ. And we're going to do righteous things because that's who we are. Not because we've got some set of rules over here we've got to follow. It's because now our heart is new. And we want to do. We are in His image. We are renewed in our mind. We want to do the righteous things. We don't have to do, but we want to do. We want to love other people. We want to be kind. We want to be gentle. We want to be patient. We want to be long-suffering. Because that's who we are, and that's who God is. We want to be merciful and show others grace. That's the God we serve. He has forgiven us all. How can we not forgive others all? He's forgiven us all. Every sin we've ever done. How can we hold anything against our brother? Well, you owe me. Remember, I scratched your back. Time for you to scratch mine. No, that's the world system. Brother, what can I do for you? You don't owe me anything. Christ paid for it all. It's done. It's finished. Amen? Amen. By His blood. We believe in Him. We're saved. We're redeemed. We're headed places, guys. We're headed good places. God's got a good future for us. Even though things look bleak sometimes. Sometimes you don't even know how to pay the light bill. But God always comes through for His children. God says, I will supply every good need, every need for you. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank You for Your word and for Your encouragement, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated His love for us by dying on that cross. Lord, give us the strength to continue on. Give us the peace that we have already. Reassure us of that we have peace in this world, even though others don't. We have peace because we're reconciled to You. We're not fighting against You any, Lord. We're with You. We're Yours. We're Your sons and daughters. And Lord, we just thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. In Jesus' name.